Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth, where once again the can has been kicked down the road on the budget, the federal budget. We're going to talk about that. Scott, good to have you here.
Great to be back, Loman. Thank you.
So there's another CR, but this one's a little bit different than what we've seen in past years, Scott. Want to explain what has happened here?
Yeah, well, there was this idea that was proposed just a couple weeks ago to do what was known as a ladder CR. And it would be to have various parts of the federal government not expire all at once, but to sort of split it up. And so what they did was they separated a few of the subcommittees on appropriations and made that expire on one date in January. And then the other part of the bill is going to expire in February. Nonetheless, this continuing resolution funds government at the Pelosi-Biden omnibus levels from last year. And for a lot of conservatives, they weren't very happy with that. Earlier this summer, we had the Fiscal Responsibility Act, and that bill set new statutory spending limits. In this CR, they ignored all of that. They're just continuing, like you said, to kick the can down the road on top of our $33 trillion of national debt and on top of our trillion-dollar annual deficits. So when the House of Representatives pulled that vote up, what we actually ended up seeing was really a big, big split within the House Republican Conference. I think 92 House Republicans voted no. And that's a big signal for Speaker Johnson, the new Speaker, Mike Johnson, and how he's going to resolve differences with his own conference. When you have to rely on mostly Democrats to pass an agenda, that's a problem. And obviously, this is a problem that Mike Johnson inherited. He didn't create it out of thin air, but it does, I think, show a pretty big split here for the Republicans, especially as it pertains to our federal debt and deficit situation. The bill then went over to the United States Senate this week, and there I think that there were only 11 U.S. senators that voted no. Some senators didn't like the idea of pushing things into January and February. If there's anything good that this bill does, it does avoid the Christmas omnibus fight and really the shutdown politics that usually come alongside that, which usually bring in more of like what I call the Christmas tree packages, right? Whether or not they're going to include the extension of this bill or that bill. Well, the CR did include a little bit less than a year of an extension for the farm bill. That will now expire on September 30th of 2024. And then there were a couple other really small provisions that were tucked in there. But generally, this is a bill that avoids a Christmas omnibus, even though it continues spending at the Pelosi-Biden levels from last year.
So Speaker Johnson, as you pointed out here, Scott, did have to depend on Democrat votes to get this. That's what triggered the ouster of the former House Speaker, Kevin McCarthy. Does this put Speaker Johnson on tenterhooks as well?
Some people are calling it strike one or strike two. I think the reality is that Kevin McCarthy made a deal with House conservatives last January that was supposed to provide for new process and transformational reforms to fix the House of Representatives. There was a lot of trust that was built up over the first 5 months. And then when he broke that trust by cutting the deal with Joe Biden on the debt limit increase, that was a big problem for House conservatives. So McCarthy said, oh, I'll work with you all summer on appropriation bills. They didn't get any of them done. And then it, you know, pushed into September, and he basically threw his hands up and said, well, I'm not going to shut down the government. I'm going to call your bluff, and I'm going to go ahead and pass this bill with Democrats. And as soon as he called the bluff, they showed their cards, and they did the motion to vacate, and ultimately 8 House Republicans joined with the Democrats to kick Kevin McCarthy out of the Speaker's office. You know, that led to this big process of Mike Johnson. I do think Mike Johnson is the kind of leader that is acceptable to everybody. They understand the mess that he inherited, and I think that he's going to get the benefit of the doubt as long as he doesn't break the overall trust levels that he needs to have, whether he's dealing with the far right of the conference or these so-called majority makers that are worried about their own reelections.
So when we hit January and February, and as you pointed out, the benefit here is at least all this isn't going to be playing out against the pressure of the last week before Christmas, but when we hit January and February, the same problems are still there. Can we expect any movement toward resolution even at that point in time?
Well, I think you'll see the House continue over the next couple of months to try to do more appropriation bills. This week, they again had to pull one of the bills off the floor after the procedural vote, what's known as the rule vote, failed. But they're going to continue to work at it. And I think that a lot of people in Washington are sort of used to taking the easy way out. But we know that making sausage is kind of ugly, and that's usually what legislating is. There's give and take. I think most people are willing to step up and have a real negotiation, but there's going to be red lines for the conservatives. They clearly want to have reforms to our open border and the immigration system that the Biden administration is honestly allowing millions and millions of people to come across illegally every year. And so if you can address that kind of thing, if you can get some spending restraint in place, if you can begin to really enact the transformational reforms that they fought for, then I think everybody will ultimately be happy, even if a few have to plug their nose to vote yes.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth has been keeping an eye on this federal budget process, obviously going to be ongoing, and he'll be back again. Scott, tell us a little bit about the club.
Yeah, Club for Growth is a membership organization based out of Washington, D.C. Our members, 525,000 of them from all 50 states, are united in this idea of economic freedom, liberty, and opportunity. Check us out at clubforgrowth.org. Sign up and become a member for free. And also visit us on Twitter at Club for Growth with the number 4.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Thank you, Scott. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.